Full Circle by Edith Wharton. Published by Macmillan Education, a division of Macmillan Publishers Limited. Copyright Macmillan Publishers Limited, 2013. Part 5. Visey, it was to appear, did carry a deadly secret, but one less perilous to society than to himself. He was simply poor, inexcusably, irremediably poor. Everything failed him, had always failed him. Whatever he put his hand to went to bits. This was the confession that, reluctantly, yet with a kind of white-lipped bravado, he flung at Betton in answer to the latter's tentative suggestion that, really, the letter-answering job wasn't worth bothering him with, a thing that any typewriter could do. "If you mean you're paying me more than it's worth, I'll take less," Visey rushed out after a pause. "Oh, my dear fellow," Betton protested, flushing. "What do you mean, then? Don't I answer the letters as you want them answered?" Betton anxiously stroked his silken ankle. "You do it beautifully. Too beautifully. I mean what I say. The work's not worthy of you. I'm ashamed to ask you."
"Oh, hang shame," Visey interrupted. "Do you know why I said I shouldn't have time to dress tonight? Because I haven't any evening clothes. As a matter of fact, I haven't much but the clothes I stand in. One thing after another's gone against me. All the infernal ingenuities of chance. It's been a slow Chinese torture, the kind where they keep you alive to have more fun killing you."
He straightened himself with a sudden blush.
"Oh, I'm all right now, getting on capitally. But I'm still walking rather a narrow plank, and if I do your work well enough, if I take your idea..."
Betton stared into the fire without answering.
He knew next to nothing of Visey's history, of the mischance or mismanagement that had brought him, with his brains and his training, to so unlikely a pass. But a pang of compunction shot through him as he remembered the manuscript of The Lifted Lamp, gathering dust on his table for half a year. Not that it would have made any earthly difference, since he's evidently never been able to get the thing published. But this reflection did not wholly console Betton, and he found it impossible, at the moment, to tell Visey that his services were not needed. During the ensuing weeks, the letters grew fewer and fewer, and Betton foresaw the approach of the fatal day when his secretary, in common decency, would have to say, "I can't draw my pay for doing nothing." What a triumph for Visey! The thought was intolerable, and Betton cursed his weakness in not having dismissed the fellow before such a possibility arose. "If I tell him I've no use for him now, he'll see straight through it, of course. And then, hang it, he looks so poor." This consideration came after the other, but Betton, in rearranging them, put it first, because he thought it looked better there, and also because he immediately perceived its value in justifying a plan of action that was beginning to take shape in his mind. "Poor devil. I'm damned if I don't do it for him," said Betton, sitting down at his desk. 3 or 4 days later, he sent word to Visey that he didn't care to go over the letters any longer, and that they would once more be carried directly to the library. The next time he lounged in on his way to his morning ride, he found his secretary's pen in active motion. "A lot today,"
Visey told him cheerfully. His tone irritated Betton. It had the inane optimism of the physician reassuring a discouraged patient.
"Oh, Lord, I thought it was almost over," groaned the novelist. "No, they've just got their second wind.
Here's one from a Chicago publisher, never heard the name, offering you 30% on your next novel with an advance royalty of $20,000. And here's a chap who wants to syndicate it for a bunch of Sunday papers. Big offer, too. That's from Ann Arbor. And this, oh, this one's funny. He held up a small scented sheet to Benton, who made no movement to receive it. Funny? Why is it funny? He growled. Well, it's from a girl, a lady, and she thinks she's the only person who understands abundance, has the clue to it, says she's never seen a book so misrepresented by the critics.
Ha ha! That is good,
Benton agreed with too loud a laugh. This one's from a lady, too, married woman, says she's misunderstood and would like to correspond.
Oh, Lord, said Benton. What are you looking at? He added sharply, as Visey continued to bend his blinking gaze on the letters.
I was only thinking I'd never seen such short letters from women. Neither one fills the first page.
Well, what of that? Queried Benton.
Visey reflected. I'd like to meet a woman like that, he said wearily. And Benton laughed again. The letters continued to pour in, and there could be no farther question of dispensing with Visey's services. But one morning, about 3 weeks later, the latter asked for a word with his employer, and Benton, on entering the library, found his secretary with half a dozen documents spread out before him.
What's up? Queried Benton, with a touch of impatience.
Visey was attentively scanning the outspread letters.
I don't know. Can't make out.
His voice had a faint note of embarrassment.
Do you remember a note signed Hester Macklin that came 3 or 4 weeks ago? Married, misunderstood, Western Army post, wanted to correspond.
Benton seemed to grope among his memories. Then he assented vaguely.
A short note, Visey went on. The whole story in half a page. The shortness struck me so much, and the directness, that I wrote her. Wrote in my own name, I mean.
In your own name? Benton stood amazed. Then he broke into a groan.
Good Lord, Visey, you're incorrigible.
The secretary pulled his thin mustache with a nervous laugh.
If you mean I'm an ass, you're right. Look here. He held out an envelope stamped with the words, Dead Letter Office. My effusion has come back to me marked unknown. There's no such person at the address she gave you.
Benton seemed for an instant to share his secretary's embarrassment. Then he burst into an uproarious laugh.
Hoax, was it? That's rough on you, old fellow.
Visey shrugged his shoulders.
Yes, but the interesting question is, why on earth didn't your answer come back, too?
My answer?
The official one, the one I wrote in your name. If she's unknown, what's become of that?